Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
G-A-L-D-E-M. G-A-L-D-E-M.
This song is good.
Welcome to a brand new season of Growing Up with Galdem. Inspired by our book, I Will Not Be Erased, our stories about growing up as people of colour.
My name is Nyella Arboyne, and I'm the life editor at Galdem.
And I'm Natty Kasimvala, former editor and long-time contributor at Galdem.
Galdem is an award-winning media company committed to sharing the perspectives of people of colour from marginalised genders. Each week, we invite a guest to respond to old diary entries, letters or text messages from their younger selves. The point is to nurture important discussions about growing up.
You can find Growing Up with Galdem on Apple Podcasts, the Acast app, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rachel Chinnaruri is determined to create, determined to discover, and determined to perform. It's a steely passion that has carried through every day of her life. Rachel grew up surrounded by the sounds of modern grime and hip-hop from her brother's room. The swooning joy of Ladysmith, Black Mambazo, as well as the uplifting African gospel and passionate protest music stemming from her parents' lives back in Zimbabwe. These are the sounds that informed her stunning music. 2018 saw her continue to develop her style with the evocative demo, So My Darling, becoming the breakthrough single released at the end of the year. Her stunning second EP, 4 Degrees in Winter, is out now.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's so great to have you. I'm a day one fan, like original.
I was gonna say, I feel like we've met, but I don't know why I feel like we've met.
Okay, so we met once when we did a Galdem event at Second Home, and I had been like harassing Liv to book you for stuff because I was just like, we've got to get Rachel, we've got to write that Rachel, we've got to do it all. And we met then, but also your mates with Janae, who I used to work
my
with.
My bestest friend in the entire world, yeah.
She is a gem of a human being. So she's always talking about you and hyping you up as well. So I remember once she was like, oh, she didn't know that I knew you, but I've always been, you know, in your corner. I just think you're brilliant and so talented.
Thank you.
Awesome. But yeah, so I think we chatted a little bit, but how are you doing today?
Doing good. My voice sounds croaky, but I'm actually fine. It's not COVID or anything. I've just been shouting too much when I go to festivals.
So she's been outside.
I've been outside and I've got a gig tomorrow. So after this, I'm no more talking until my gig tomorrow.
That's a perfect time to record a podcast.
Yeah, perfect time to record. Yesterday, it would have been way worse. So I'm quite happy we're doing this today.
Where's your gig tomorrow?
I believe tomorrow I am in Bristol for Dr. Doc Festival, and then Sunday I'm in Nottingham for another Dr. Doc Festival. The gigs are at like 10 in the evening, so I have more than enough time to rest my voice. Like the other day I did a gig and I couldn't even talk in the morning, so, and I was fine by the evening. So as long as I do my vocal rest, I will be fine by tomorrow night.
Is it exciting performing again, being back on stage?
100%. I feel like it's just the energy of being back on stage, seeing people, especially seeing people after I've done this project now. It's just, I think I missed it too much. Well, I clearly did. I've been singing to everyone's gigs and stuff I've gone to the point where I've lost my voice. So yeah, I just missed it a lot, and I'm happy that we're back.
We are back.
We are back.
We are outside.
Exactly.
I wanted to know a bit more about your relationship to music, especially growing up, and what were your sort of, who were your influences growing up?
My influences, I always keep the same three, is Coldplay, Ladysmith, Black Mambazo, and Daughter. Because Coldplay, I loved the songwriting. I prefer more simple words, verbiage, because sometimes if it's a bit too cryptic and poetic, my brain literally can't understand, as beautiful as it sounds. But it's like their one is like very direct to you and so well written. And then Ladysmith, Black Mambazo, I love their harmonies. It's the main thing I love about them. And then Daughter is like the first band that I found that, in an African house, you don't really listen to indie music. And that's the first band I discovered in a genre which I was like, what on earth is this genre? And a singer that is soft sung, not everyone's like belting and stuff. And that's kind of influenced my choice in when I sing to, you know, keep quieter voice and quieter tone than to be a belty singer. So yeah, those are my three influences.
Oh, Black Girls Unite. Sorry, yes. I was, nine.
Fully, you're in the right place.
This is your safe space. I was obsessed with Daughter when I was younger as well.
Every kid who probably had depression loved Daughter, I'm not gonna lie.
Drag me, Rachel.
I'm dragging myself. I was in that boat right with you, like literally in my room crying. Oh my God.
And your African parents are like, what are you listening to? My parents used to drag me for that.
They did not get it. They're like, you can't even dance to this one. And I was like, it's not about the dancing, mum. It's about
it's
the
not
feeling.
About the dancing, it's the emotion.
It's the emotion.
I love that so much. And I mean, also, it just shows the range, I think, because I can hear kind of all of those different influences when I listen to your music. There is like the directness, the immediacy of the Coldplays. And I love that you reference Ladysmith, Black Mambazo. I feel like, again, it's this, I don't know, it's like a part of your heritage, right? That maybe your friends weren't always listening to with you, along with you.
Yeah, as a South African, my mum's half South African. And even in Zimbabwe, I wouldn't be able to tell you what artists, but there were plenty of a cappella Southern African music. My mum would always play in the car. And it's kind of, you know, when you're on your long road trips to like Scotland from England, my mum would just only play that. So I don't really have much choice.
I was just going to say your lyrics always hitting when I first heard So My Darling. I was like, okay then, I'm just going to cry. Yeah, so I can definitely see what you mean by your influences in like Coldplay and that kind of like say it how it is lyricism. A story that we hear a lot on Galdem is, you know, especially not to stereotype, but with a lot of our lovely African guests or people of African heritage, we hear a lot about the struggle with like getting into creative spaces versus the parentals who aren't always necessarily fully on board from the get-go. So I guess I wanted to hear a bit about your story with kind of getting to a point where you were able to pursue music and what your family's relationship is like with your music now versus how it was maybe when you first started.
It was difficult, I won't lie. I'm the youngest of five and my siblings were kind of raised in the UK, but I was the only one born here. So because they went to school here and stuff, I guess they understood that, you know, people can go to school to do music and musical theatre and performance stuff. My parents did not get it at all because they came to this country for us to literally be academically educated. So having siblings who understood that, they kind of walked so I could run, because when they tried to do creative things, my parents were like, categorical no. But I'm like, maybe my oldest sibling is 15 years older than me. So it was a while before I even went to college and stuff before my older sibling had gone. And I think my mum was trying to be understanding, but to her, being a singer is what you see, like Beyonce, multimillionaires, Rihanna's, very successful, million-pound houses, massive record deals, like the Michael Jacksons. So she didn't really get what I was trying to do because my music didn't even sound anything like the popular music. It was indie. And she was just thinking, you probably have no chance with this stuff. So she was just very concerned in that way. And because when I first started, I wasn't earning any money from music, but it was taking up 90% of my life and I was paying for travel and stuff, but I wasn't earning any money from it. My mum, it's not that she doubted me, but I think she was just worried because all her other kids had stable jobs. And I'm just kind of doing this thing, making these slow, sad indie songs, not getting that many listens and plays. And for like 2 years, not earning anything. And she was just like, this is ridiculous. You need to have a secure job. You need to go to uni. I didn't go to uni and she didn't know. I just kind of sprung it on her.
What do you mean?
I went to Brit school and she was like, you can only go to Brit school if you go uni. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then when it was time to apply, I was like, yeah, of course, babe. And then when it was time to apply for uni, I literally just didn't. And then when October came, my mum's like, why is everyone going to uni and you're in bed? And I was like, because I didn't apply. And she was, yeah, she weren't happy.
Sorry, this is youngest child privilege.
This is youngest child privilege because I literally ran to my older sisters like, please, please speak to her, please. And I had to get my managers to come in and speak to her. But yeah, it's definitely some younger child privilege, which I, at the time, I didn't get. But now I'm like, oh, I had some, I got away with a lot. My dad, he's the musical side. So my dad was just kind of like, whatever, don't mind. But my mum is more like the leader in the house, I'd say. So she was not impressed, but she was trying to be as supportive as possible on social media and stuff. And then once I started earning money, she was just kind of like, all right, you're doing a great job, goodbye. And then she didn't care. So yeah, once I started earning money, she went back to Africa and she was like, you've got a stable career, you do your thing, and now everything's fine. So yeah.
Oh, your parents went back to Zim?
Yeah, they went back to Zim. They've been there for like, I want to say 2.5 years. Obviously, the pandemic happened, so I think they were planning on coming back, but now it's been over 2.5 years. They're very happy in Zim. It's their homeland. Yeah. So yeah.
Man, I think you're so right. It's like, part of it is just, regardless of like what the job is, it's just that they want you to be safe and secure. Exactly. And have like, you know, be able to build a life for yourself. And that's where the risk comes in. And they're like, nah.
Yeah, my mum like took a big risk coming to this country and built so much for me to be able to go to university. For her to then take care of me for 18 years and me go, actually, I'm not going. So it's kind of like, I completely get why she panicked. Even though she was panicking and stressing me out sometimes, she would always be like, you know, keep going, work hard. She would listen to my songs and be like, this is what I think, etc. She tried to understand the indie vibe and she's been super supportive in many ways. So shout out to Mumsy. Love her loads.
They come round in the end.
They always come round in the end. It's literally from a place of concern, which makes complete sense. There's a million and one kids who are like, I want to be a singer, so... Obviously, she's just concerned for me and would rather me take a safer option. But, you know, I can go to uni at any time.
I wanted to know a bit more about your music. It feels quite filmic in its quality. Mm. Are you inspired by visuals? If so, which ones? I see you on my TikTok.
I think when I make songs, I see them as visuals. Like any producer I've worked with, especially as of recent, the last thing I did, I was like, I want to make a song where if you're about to watch a horror film and there was a dark corridor and then a door opens and a bunch of wild dogs start running towards you and you start running away and then it turns into slow motion. Don't know where I got that from. And I was like, I want the music to represent that very moment when the slow motion starts. And then we made a song. And then once we made the song, they were like, you know what, that actually sounds exactly like the moment you described. So I guess that's how my brain kind of looks at songs, even darker plays. I was kind of like, horror film, Plain Jane was like, Black Swan was a big influence for that one. It's just my brain kind of associates imagery and videos with a song. So if I'm not seeing any films or visuals when I'm making the song, it's probably not a good song.
Interesting. And so specific.
Yeah. Very strangely specific.
Very specific.
Yeah. Very strangely specific. But every time I finished and I think about it, they're like, oh, okay. Yep. That sounds exactly like what you were saying.
And you've directed a couple or definitely one of your own music videos as well, right?
Yeah. Before. I usually have main influence in all of them, but I like to collaborate with the directors. I'd say the only one I didn't really was Give Me a Reason. I had like a very rough idea, but Robert Keane was like the leader in that one and I trusted his vision. But Plain Jane, I made a whole treatment. I put all the scenes together. I just asked for like a week to do the entire thing and then gave it to my friend Aaliyah, who took it and made it into what Plain Jane is now.
As someone who listens to music, the visuals always help me understand and get immersed in a song, which I love where we are in music at the moment, that is a thing now, that the video is just as important. Yeah. Have you got a favourite video that you've worked on?
Plain Jane, 100% Plain Jane. I worked so hard on that video and the choreography and the sheets. I had these big yellow sheets that I was like spinning around and they were so heavy. And I was sweating so hard, but I did it in two takes because it was just like, put your heart into it and then you can move on. And I worked really hard on that video, I won't lie. 5 different looks as well, so it was a lot.
Girl.
So, yeah.
We love it. We love to see it. All right, then. I think it would be great if we could get into your extract, actually. Give us a little bit of background and context for this one.
Yes. So when my grandma passed away when I was 17, in ways I didn't really get along with my family. I think I was just that younger kid who was just like, forget everyone. And I feel like I was quite different to how my family were. Like culturally, my family are very African, very proud, etc. As much as I'm culturally African, the stuff I was into is very different to them. And my grandma, for some reason, I was just very close to, would always try and text her. She loved me so much. And she was really supportive of the music thing from like the beginning. So obviously when she became ill, I'd never had anyone in my life that died. So, and I'd only had one grandparent my whole life growing up. So when she started getting ill, she would like send me voice notes and stuff. And I was like, oh, I'm going to keep these voice notes forever. And then I think like the day after she died, my phone decided to wipe. And I just went onto WhatsApp one day and it was just like, you need to re-download the app. And I was like, fuck, haven't backed it up. And then I re-downloaded the app. Everything was gone. Could get back a lot of things, but her chat was basically completely wiped. And I was trying to get my family to resend me the voice notes, resend me anything they could. And everyone was like, we don't have them. She just sent them directly to you. And it kind of forced me to like move on very quickly. But I just remember I cried and cried and cried and cried. And I was trying to get it back for ages. And then one day when I got a new phone, just this one extract, which I sent you, is the only thing that ever popped back up. And it's not even much, but I've just kept it in my archive WhatsApp forever. And I don't think I'll ever get rid of it. And I don't know. Sometimes I just build my WhatsApp and then I just quickly swipe and go back just so I can see it as a reminder of keep going, keep trying. She's watching you somewhere. I know it doesn't really have much relevance to other people, but to me, it's just that one thing which I've always had since 2016, pretty much.
I was going to ask, can you describe the screenshot that you have left?
So it was when I'd now started doing music as a career. So I'm starting to do photo shoots. I'm starting to do stuff like that. Starting to wear makeup and discover my kind of look. And I remember just sending it to her and she lived in like the bush in Zimbabwe. So she's not into the Western world that much, doesn't see much. So I would just send her stuff like that. I'd send her songs. I'd send her lots of things. And this is one of my first shoots with a woman called Dola Posh. And I sent it to her. And it's just the way my grandma would talk. It would just be funny because she's just like, oh, I've seen the pictures. It's Gogo. Love you always. Stay blessed. Mwah. And it's like, I was expecting some sort of response from her, but the woman she sort of was, it was just funny that she would always text me and be like, oh, by the way, it's Gogo. And I'm like, yes, and I know it's you, so.
No.
So So yeah,
I love
and
that.
She couldn't really speak English, but even though I understand Shona, I was like the only grandkids she would persistently try and speak in English to, and I was like, you can speak in Shona, Gogo, it's fine. You don't have to always try and speak English. So that's her trying to speak English over text message. But yeah, just used to always make me laugh.
I love that. It literally just feels like exactly the same situation as me in terms of I'm from Malawi, so we're neighbours.
Mm-hmm. We're neighbours, yeah.
We're cousins.
Proper. We actually are.
It's almost like there's a specific kind of relationship you have with like family, especially when you can't see them and mm-hmm. you can't be near them, and you kind of have these interactions that you hold really close to you via social media and all this stuff, and it's like it's not the most natural way to have to interact with, you know, like your 70-year-old Zimbabwean grandma, but like people find a way to like connect, and I mm-hmm. found that so beautiful.
Yeah, it's like them trying so hard to understand exactly what you're going through. It was, yeah, bless her, she had a wonderful life, loads of grandkids, loads of children, but she was just such a character. And considering she was living in Africa, she was so supportive of everyone's choices. So I guess that's why we all loved her in many ways. She was kind of like the head of all of us below her.
It's got me thinking about my grandma, and that it kind of sometimes just skips that generation mm-hmm. and you have this bond and connection that you just can't even mm-hmm. explain. But like the way I love my grandma is just like, it makes my heart hurt. Sometimes I can't even call her because yeah. I love her so much, which makes no sense.
You better call her. You better pick up the phone.
I know. I'm like, I'm calling her right
yeah,
after this.
You have to.
What was it like when you first kind of like, you kind of talked about it when you first realized those messages and those voice notes have been deleted? And how do you kind of now hold those memories?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like that day is potentially almost one of the worst days of my life. I really do hold on to things, pictures, voice notes. Even like me and my boyfriend have been together for like almost 5 years. Every single chat from the beginning, I have everything. And it's like, I don't know, when that happened, it was kind of like, because she lives in the village, I hadn't seen her for some time. They didn't really have cameras, so the only pictures I really had of us was like me and her as little kids, when I was a little kid and she was younger, a couple wedding pictures. And then when those digital things, text messages, voice notes and stuff went, it felt like it had erased like 6-7 years of information about her, and that everything I have before then, I don't even have on record. So it was kind of like she died and took everything with her and it just disappeared, and I couldn't listen over things, couldn't nothing at all. And I remember my mum, near the time she was ill, she was like, make sure you save those on your laptop, make sure you do this. And I was like, yeah, I'll be fine. And then just the next day, my phone just wiped and I just cried and cried. It was awful. But yeah.
Man, so heartbreaking.
Technology, honestly, I should be suing WhatsApp for that behaviour because...
honestly.
I was so angry. I was so angry.
Yeah. I've read a lot about people call it like digital hoarding in quotation marks, right? But... at the same time, I'm in exactly the same vein as you where, I don't know, I just like, sometimes I have to like, you know, when the phone's like, oh yeah, you're running out of space again for the 15th time this week. Please, can you delete some stuff? And you go through your chats and you're like, but I want to keep everything.
Yeah.
Like, how do you keep track and keep like memories of things that are only digital without, you know?
I don't. I literally don't. I have about 30,000 pictures on my phone, about 200 chats, which I only use about 10 of them. I have a lot going on my phone, and that should probably be enough to show you why I'm such a hoarder. Had to get the iPhone with the most memory because
yeah,
it was
yeah.
getting real bad.
Oh man, yeah, it's interesting though. I don't know, I've been trying to think more about like, did you have any phase of like going back through stuff and looking at old memories and kind of like traveling back in time? Because I know that I found myself doing that and like reading old conversations and stuff.
Yeah, 100%. In lockdown, I basically kind of had like a big mental breakdown in the middle of lockdown. Felt like I'd lost myself a lot as a person. So yeah, I kind of went on this like mental break. My managers gave me loads of time off and they got me a therapist and I stayed at my manager's house and stuff, and he would take me boxing and try out lots of different things. And yeah, I found myself just going over old pictures, old videos, old memories, I guess in a way to try and find myself again, but also looking at kind of the person I'd become and if I was really happy with the person I'd become or the person I was putting forward for myself. So yeah, I guess I love pictures in that way. It's good self-reflection, good reminder of certain moments.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So how do you kind of stay grounded in this industry?
My manager is actually my best friend. Her name's Amber Chen. She's actually younger than me. We worked in Clarks together when we were 16. So she can kind of tell me anything about myself. And now as my manager, she has no fear in telling me to calm the hell down. Like, she'll be like, Rachel, no. And because she's my best friend, it's kind of like, okay, I get it. It's coming from a big place of love, big place of concern. Whenever I'm worried about anything, she calls me, she picks me back up. If I'm getting too above myself, she'll be like, no, this, that, and that. So it's kind of like I have someone who is honest enough and close enough to me to ground me, because if it was like a random person who I'm not that close to, I probably will be like, oh, whatever, they don't know me. But my manager literally knows me before I was a musician and was working with her in Clarks. So yeah, I'd say my manager, Amber, I love her so much. She grounds me quite a lot and she genuinely loves me so much. So she keeps me grounded, and my other managers as well in my team. But I'd say Amber, I've got to give it to her.
I think that's amazing. And it can be rare to find those people, or just for the stars to align in that way.
Mm-hmm.
From when you were kind of first starting out to make music and your grandma was, you know, hyping you up and encouraging mm-hmm. you to, I guess, where you are today, and you've kind of been around and been growing and evolving for a few years now. How would you say the experience of making music and being in the industry measures up to whatever your expectations were of it before you became an artist?
I think my expectation was I'm going to get robbed by a record label and I just have to accept it. My expectation was also there's probably going to be some horrible men who are just going to try and use me in the industry. And I have to be very fortunate that my journey has been the complete opposite. I absolutely love Parlophone. Like, my team in Parlophone is one of the nicest teams I've ever had. Like, it literally shocks me how nice they are. My management team, run by two white men, literally the nicest management team you can get. And then I literally have not been robbed. So I'm like, everything that people are like, you're going to get robbed and this and that, and they're going to try and control your creative. I've been in charge of all of my creative. I've been in charge of all of my songs. And yeah, I feel like I had such a negative view on the industry. And it's not to undermine that other people have had that experience, but the path I've been put on, and Duncan Ellis, the guy who brought me in, my experience has been nothing but fantastic. So I guess that surprised me, especially as a black woman. That definitely surprised me.
No, we love success, not everyday sufferation.
It's not everyday suffering. I really thought I was going to suffer in this industry, and it's just been so good. And I think it's because stuff that men, especially in the industry, used to do, it cannot run in this day and age. The women before us walked so that we could run, and they really suffered back then. And now there's so many things in place in institutions, which means it's a lot easier to call out a lot of stuff and people will actually listen to you.
Going back to your grandma, what kind of lessons have you learned from her? And I guess in reflection, what ways do you think you're similar?
Oh, me and my grandma are very similar. My grandma and my mum are very similar. But then I'd say I'm more similar to my grandma. So it's kind of like the three of us are all similar in ways, but I'm more similar to my grandma. But my mum and grandma are similar in very weird ways. My mum and grandma are people who do not take life seriously at all. They have been through so much. Like, you can go to like the bougiest restaurant. My mum be like, where's the discount menu? Where's this? Where's that? She's like, you know, she's just so playful. And I'm like, oh, it's embarrassing. Taking pictures and stuff like that. She's just literally like a little child. And my mum's like, she's 58. Yeah, it's just the playfulness that my grandma and mum had all the way till their later parts in life. It's kind of like they're little kids. And I kind of noticed that within myself, because as much as I'm 22, I feel like a lot of people who are 18, 19, 20, 21, etc., they try and grow up really quickly and try and put on this persona of being cool and looking cool and behaving maturely on. But I'm just someone who I'm kind of like a little kid. Like, I now have money. I have the career that I want. I'm heading in the right direction. Why then suddenly be a miserable bitch when I can literally be a happy girly, you know?
A baby girl. My necklace says baby girl. I'm all for
baby girl for
life. Inner child. Baby girl for life.
Literally baby girl for life.
I think we're going to get into our final questions, which are...
If you see me mute myself, I'm just coughing, sorry.
Okay, you're not crying, because these questions do sometimes make people cry.
Oh, I got myself. I'll cry later. I haven't got time to cry now, I'll just cry later.
Innit? That's what therapy's for.
Exactly. Dion will be hearing from me later.
All right, so... What advice, I guess, would you give to your younger self who, you know, maybe not the person who you could say, you know, save these conversations, but the person who was kind of searching for these parts of herself and her relationship with her grandmother she'd lost and was kind of a bit heartbroken by what happened? What advice would you give to her?
I know it sounds really corny, but you see that thing where it's like, just keep swimming, that thing. That is literally the best advice that everyone needs to take more seriously in this life, because you literally just have to keep on going and never undermine yourself. If you know what you want as a person, never undermine yourself and keep pushing. Unfortunately, in life comes death. It's an expectation of everything. And you just have to keep going, push through, know that if the person was still here, they'd want you to still keep doing well. So yeah, just keep on pushing through and understand the privileges that the cards of my life has been laid out as. I have cousins in Africa who can't even come to the UK because you know how they are with borders and stuff. And I have an English passport and I can travel anywhere I want. And my mum gave me a very middle-class life because she worked really hard for me. When my grandma before her worked really hard for them. And it's kind of where I've come in my life, in the position of my family. I need to remember that I wasn't put here to fail. And it would be a disservice to my other family in Africa and other kids who would dream of being in my position to take advantage of that. So to keep swimming, push through, because my other cousins and stuff, they're all going through the same trauma and loss, but in arguably much worse situations than what I was in. I was in the college of my dreams, not being forced to do anything other than make songs. Found management, BBC are playing my songs. It's like, could have been in way worse positions. But I wasn't. So keeping on, I guess, is the advice I'd give my younger self. Even if it doesn't make sense, just keep on going.
Dory from Finding Nemo had the bars.
They had the bars.
She did.
They had the bars for real.
And lastly, what would your younger self think of where you are now?
Impossible. My younger self would look at me and be like, I can't believe you've done it, girl. Yeah. My younger self was literally like, I'm not getting past SoundCloud. And then once I went past SoundCloud, I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, I'm never getting on the radio. Then I got into the radio. I was like, oh, okay. For example, I got put into the like NME top 100 list or something like that. And the NME then sent me a DM that I'd sent them when I was 16, like, please listen to my songs. And a few years later, now they're posting me on their story and Instagram, like, here you are. We listened and you're here. I think when I was younger, I was literally like, I could never be in the same spaces or positions as these people. And now I'm like going to gigs and seeing like the biggest people. Like I'll be around like Pusha T one time and I was just like, what? This is my job and I'm the same job as this man. We're here literally for the same reasons, getting the same food, got the same trailer in the back. It's just unbelievable. So I think my younger self is probably going to be like, bloody hell, Rach, you've done all right. You're doing all right. Keep on going. It's only just the beginning right now. When I get to the next level, you actually work harder the bigger you get, because as soon as you start relaxing, career goes down the drain. So
I know. Oh my gosh. But I think, yeah, that's such a lovely thought. And I think even just to think of like 5 years down the line from here, like what you're going to be thinking of where you are in 5 years time, I just know you're going to be, it'll be the same answer. The trajectory is upwards only.
Upwards only. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. That was amazing.
No, thanks for having me. This was fun. I had another interview yesterday and I was telling the lady how it was such a good interview because it's not like, you know, the boring, the everyday questions, which I already have the pre-saved answers in my head. And then now it's like I've just had another interview today, which is this podcast. And I'm like, oh, this was another good one as well. So I'm very happy, very impressed.
Oh, thank you. Thank We're you. All on job.
Yeah, you're all on job. All black women as well. Yesterday it was a black woman as well. So y'all know what you're doing.
I feel like with Rachel, that conversation just made me want to call my grandma, like right now.
Fully. Just really like brought home that beautiful connection between like a granddaughter and a grandma, especially when they live in a different country.
Honestly, and I think you're so right about that kind of phenomenon of not necessarily that it's a connection that skips a generation, but that there can be these like almost these cultural things that you would expect certain older generations to adhere to. But actually, in whether that's because of old age or because of, you know, like life perspective, they can sometimes become far more adaptable and more liberal minded than like people who are still kind of in the grind.
Yeah.
So I love that her grandma was like, do the music thing and like, just do whatever you want to do that makes you happy.
Completely. Also, they're not raising you day to day, so they've just got pure love to give grandparents.
Yeah. That is so very true.
I also just love how grounded she is. The fact that, like, you know, her manager is her friend. He's always there to, like, keep it real. I thought that was, like, really refreshing that she's had such a good time experience in the music industry. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's super interesting. And I just felt relieved when she said that, because I think maybe it's the neighbourhood thing, or because we've obviously both been watching her whole journey. It's nice to hear that, you know, there are people having a nice time out there.
Exactly. It's not all struggle. She seems like she's thriving and, you know, has got like a good head on her shoulders.
Yeah. You know, the only thing I'm curious about is I still have questions about digital hoarding, and like I need solutions because I'm scared that one day it's going to happen to me and I'm going to lose like something that's really important to me in terms of conversations on my phone or pictures. And I don't know how I can feel more secure in like finding ways to document these things that don't just rely on tech companies.
It's hard, isn't it? And there's no answer yet. Whenever it happens to me, I kind of just end up forgetting it's happened. If I get a new phone or if it's lost, I'm like sad for a day and then I'm like, oh, well.
It's kind of like that whole thing of journaling as well, though, isn't it? Because it's like, if you don't have the things there, you don't necessarily know that you're missing them. But when you have them and then you lose them, it's like, you'll never be able to access them and your life will probably be fine without them. But like, you know, it's tricky. This has been an II Studios production.
Thank you so much for listening. Did you know we have a new podcast out? It's called Reclaimed and Rewritten, a hard-hitting deep dive into the Tulsa massacres of 1921. It's available on all podcast streaming platforms now. You can also sign up to become a member at gal-dem.com for access to exclusive discounts with our favourite brands and partners, early access to tickets for Galdem events, an advanced copy of our annual print issue, and so much more.
Make sure you're following us on all major social media at Galdem Zine for the latest independent news and culture.
Don't forget, if you loved this episode of Growing Up with Galdem, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. We'll catch you on the next episode.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.